To the Batmobile.
Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard?
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Good morning, Sophie. How are you?
I am great. Saul went to the movies last night, saw Atomic Blonde. Everyone should go see it because Charlize Theron is fierce.
Yeah, it's girl John Wick. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Same director, same awesome score, cool world, and Charlize kicking butt.
I know.
Furiosa with more hair, kicking the living cripes out of a lot of folk in the street.
Pretty much. She's just in full Furiosa mode. But we are not here to talk about Atomic Blonde as much as we love to, because we have a chockers week of geeky news to get through, Blake.
Yes. Look, I know we've opened a couple of weeks of the shows talking about Deadpool 2, but once again, we got an awesome reveal, as we thought, from last week's show, which is that Josh Brolin has finally been seen as Cable, which is freaking exciting. So his name, aka Nathan Summers, also a creation of Rob Liefeld from the comic book fame and creator of Deadpool. And this week he said so.
What did he say? Oh, God.
He said, it's better than anything I've ever drawn.
Oh, that was it. And it was kind of painful because it was so true, because Rob, for people who don't know, is quite a controversial figure in comic book lore. Why is that, though?
Well, look, my theory is that every Rob Liefeld character looks like a prettier version of Rob Liefeld. it's the longest running self-portrait evolution of all time. Like, every character, and I think Deadpool probably escaped the usual sort of niggling and diatribe, because his face is covered most of the time and it's burned underneath, so he's unrecognizably Rob Liefeld. But yeah, it's no surprise they've gotten one of the most, you know, classically Hollywood handsome, square-jawed, tough-looking dudes to be Cable. And Brolin, you know, 4 months in training, and they, you know, brought it into this sort of modern, you know, modern update that is kind of semi-tangible. So, no, it looks exciting, and he looks great, and just everything about this movie is exciting, all the casting. Let's not forget Ricky Baker on the back of Ryan Reynolds' back. Julian Dennison is probably the most exciting casting news so far, but some really cool stuff coming from this flick, and I can't wait to see it.
Oh, like, I really just want him just to start, like, his version of breakdancing in the middle of the film.
Oh, my God, please do.
Ricky Baker.
I want him to drag a letterbox on the ground somewhere through this film. That would be just absolutely sublime.
And just have a line in there. It's like, he's a real bad egg.
He's a real bad egg.
He's a real bad egg.
They've got to do it. They've got to do it.
I hope they do. I really hope they do.
So from one comic book property to another, Netflix folks, one of my favorite lines ever from a Family Guy episode is, go buy yourself some more money. And basically Netflix have done exactly that this week with buying Miller World Comics. So Mark Millar is an amazing creator. After having done probably sort of some defining runs in the Marvel world, he did the Civil War comic for Captain America. He did the Old Man Logan, which is basically what Logan was based off of loosely earlier this year. But his other big ones are Kick-Ass, Kingsman, Wanted. And they've bought his company that has a whole stack of titles, original and otherwise, that basically they're saying are just going to be their mine for, you know, continuing to create original content from these characters. So, you know, as they may be concerned that, you know, Marvel and Disney they're increasingly becoming their own thing, they're sort of seeking out other places where they can find this original content.
Well, they're looking in the right place. I mean, as you mentioned, Mark Millar has created Kingsman, Wanted, and Kick-Ass back when he was at Image, and they are probably one of the more, like, brutally out there comics you can pick up. You read it and you're like, the hell am I looking? It's like, it's so out there, and their transition onto film has been amazing. Like, people love it.
Yeah, I think one thing that Millar's got is he's got such an understanding of, like, all of the classical tropes and story devices that happen in comics, that he's got a really great understanding of how to then also tweak them and make them like realistic. I think Kick-Ass is Mark Miller's Spider-Man if Spider-Man was just a young, stupid teenager, you know, like, and actually had to make a really cruddy suit and had to get ultra-violent and all those sorts of things. So, and then with Old Man Logan, it's kind of taking that character to the nth degree to, you know, to his darkest moments. And I think, so for me, I haven't really read too many of his original creations. By all accounts, I was doing a bit of research on them before the show this week, and some of them sound pretty great. So might have to pick up a trade or two to get myself familiar. But you can bet your bottom dollar that, you know, they're going to try and get in some cool creators to turn some of these other comic book properties into Netflix original films or TV shows or both. You know, why not serialize the hell out of it?
Why not, indeed? And I mean, like, he ever since launching Millerworld, he even has his own con in London.
I mean, look, he's big enough for his own con. It doesn't surprise me. You've got things like Rooster Teeth with their own con. Like, Mark Miller is definitely deserving of that. My favorite own person con is like the Grant Morrison one, where everyone just like takes acid and hangs out. So yeah, I'm into that one the most, actually, I think.
I think that would be the greatest, because you just get cameos from all these like creator mates just going, yeah, this is...
Yeah. This is a pretty good
Morrison. We're just going to pop in, see how he's doing, maybe take a tab and walk back out with a flume of smoke.
Now, look, there was a geek breakup this week, wasn't there? So,
yeah, Blake, it was quite a breakup. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, you know, Anna Faris and Chris Pratt also broke up this week. And, you know, for me, that means love is dead. But you're probably talking about something else.
I am actually talking. Look, I don't have a cold black heart. But I also need to tell you that Disney and Netflix had a breakup. And it's a very amicable breakup at the moment, because they're still technically going to be hanging around with each other until 2019. But Disney is launching their own streaming service. And that will mean that all of the Disney movies that are currently on your Netflix service, including Star Wars and the Marvel films, will no longer be on Netflix like after 2019. And basically, after that announcement was made earlier in the week, Disney, that impacted that Disney announcement, Netflix's stock dropped 7%. So
that's insane, actually.
That is nuts. So there is a lot of talk and active discussions between Netflix and Disney Pictures to keep, at the very least, the Star Wars films and the MCU films on the service because of obviously how massively popular they are. So that's going to be really interesting to see how it goes. But this is just a really strange time, because now with people like Disney who control such massive franchises, whether it be film or TV, and have such an incredible back catalogue, going away from Netflix, you know, significantly reduces the, you know, that as a streaming service, you know, that you'd be wanting to pay for, especially as a new dad. You know, my daughter, Triple H, is obsessed with Finding Dory. So for me, if there's Disney films and stuff like that going elsewhere, then I need to have that service. So it's pretty insane.
But that means another service we need to subscribe to. Like, I'm running out of money.
This is a legitimate thing. So we need to, the biggest concern that we have right now is we're going to have, you know, you're in Australia, you're going to have your Netflixes, you might have your Stans, you might have your Amazons. And then eventually, you know, Disney might have their own service that'll go beyond. So we need to get that too. It's just crazy. So there's a really interesting phenomena that we're having in the States right now. So outside of something like Foxtel, which is Hulu, which is another massive streaming service in the States, has started to aggregate services together. So for example, you might have a Hulu membership, you pay a certain amount of money, and then on top of that, if you pay an additional fee, you will get HBO Now shows that will come through your Hulu app, and you pay another couple of bucks and you'll get Showtime shows through your Hulu app. So I think we're going to see in the next couple of years, you know, these huge places like Netflix, which have aggregated content, they might sort of whittle down to original stuff. And then, you know, the next big thing is aggregators again, because you don't want to pay, you know, imagine having to pay for Channel 7 and Channel 10 and Channel 9 and ABC and SBS as different propositions. I think that's a really, that can't be sustainable for anyone. People want convenience. So it might actually drive people to things like Foxtel Now in Australia.
That's really interesting though, because those kind of partnerships, they change all the time, because they're always based on a time limit, because like, all right, that's done now, let's see if we can get a better deal, because none of them want to really, you know, sign up for a partnership that long term. So what does that mean for us people who want to stream everything all the time?
Yeah, it means that we're going to have less money. is probably what it means. But I just think you'll end up being more discerning, like where you spend your cash. You know, like I think at the beginning of this, when the streaming services are pretty cheap, you're like, yeah, I'll buy 4 or 5. But you know, I know I've broken up with some streaming services myself because I just wasn't using them enough. I'm like, if I don't watch this at least like 3-4 times a week, it's not worth the money that I spend on it. So you kind of have to play that game now, I guess, and pick what's going to be best for you and decide how you want to purchase it. I might see more people buy things digitally. Like, you know, if we could, in the States on like iTunes, you can buy Game of Thrones day and date. So you can buy it like the next day after it screens on HBO. And like, if that was the case, you might just pay $30 and buy Game of Thrones and then have a permanent copy on your iTunes or something like that. Who knows? Like, it might lead more people to do things like that.
Very interesting. But this breakup between Disney and Netflix, it seems to be like, you know, slightly messy divorce, but they have split custody of the children.
Yes. Unlike Anna Faris and Chris Pratt, you know, who have broken up completely, there's still a shared custody arrangement, at least until 2019, that we can sort of benefit from.
Yeah, because, you know, they, as you mentioned, they have Star Wars, they have the Marvel Universe, and Pixar, but a lot of the Netflix have co-produced some Marvel productions. So where will they stay? You've got Defenders, which is coming up on Friday. Woohoo! You've got Jess Jones. You've got Iron Fist. Ugh. And you've got Daredevil and Luke Cage. Where will they go?
I think they're staying. They're firmly in that Netflix camp at the moment. But I would say, you know, 2019 and beyond, you know, if Disney has the subscribers and they start to get a significant amount of money out of subscriptions, they might want to launch their own original content from there. But I mean, Disney don't even have to do that, really. Like, they make enough of their own TV shows for, you know, Disney channels and stuff like that on cable TV. So they'll have plenty of content, and the entire back catalog of Disney shows and TV that they've ever produced will be there as well. So it's just really going to be interesting. We'll have to see what happens.
Well, you know, you're probably going to get Disney because you have a kid, but I think I'll finally get it so I can watch Star Wars Rebels like undisturbed.
That's right. Yeah, look, I think that's what's going to happen. It's like if people jump ship on Netflix, then, you know, you're going to see subscribers drop off after 2019. You know, the day that it happens, they're going to cancel their subscription and go to Disney. Because if you've got young, especially if you've got young kids, and if you're a Marvel geek, you know, the entire back catalogue of, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe will be available to stream all day, every day.
God, that's a lot. So yeah. Much continuity. Oh, but Blake, thank you for another gaggle of geeks. That breakup is nearly as devastating as Anna Faris and Chris Pratt. But Chris Pratt also engaged in a rather 80s film clip this week called Guardians Inferno, starring who?
David Hasselhoff. Exciting stuff. I think you're going to play it for us.
I am. I'm going to play us out with it. But Blake, thank you for another Gaggle Geeks. We'll catch you next week for more gaggling.
See you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye. And I highly recommend anyone to watch the video clip of Inferno because it is hot.